This next young man is a young man who is a year older than me. And he has been a campus minister since he was 18 years old. He is 29, so he has 11 years of experience. You're 30? You're going to die soon. He's got 11 or 12 years of experience, give or take a little bit, in campus ministry. He is a part of the Crossings Church, which is a church plant out of the Greater Alton Church, which both of those are represented here among us today. And they have been in St. Charles, Missouri for how long now? 3 or 4 years?
We're ending our third year.
Ending our fourth year?
Okay.
Planted a church in the context of campus ministry and are doing some amazing things at Lindenwood University with an enrollment of about 15,000 or 16,000. I've gotten to know this guy over the past few years, consider him a good friend of mine, and have learned a lot from him and his dad, and continue to. Every time I'm around him, I pick something else up. It's my pleasure to introduce him here to you today. This is Kerry Cox, and I'm going to say a prayer over you, and then we're going to get rolling, all right? Let's pray. Father God, again, we just thank you for being present with us here today, and I thank you for the work you've already done and the work you continue to do, and just pray that you be over Kerry right now as he delivers a message to this group, and just pray that our hearts be open to that. And Father, I pray that your kingdom grow as a result of this whole weekend and as a result of these messages, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. All right, any Scrub fans out there? Anybody like Scrubs? I'm not Dr. Cox, unlike everybody else up here, but my wife wants me to get my doctorate so she can call me Dr. Cox because she thinks that show is hilarious. You know, I would ask you all to turn your phones on vibrate because that seems to be an issue we've been having, but then it's going to sound like Flight of the Bumblebees out there, and I don't really care to entertain that either. But, you know, when Wes and I were talking about things that we needed to talk about this year at CMU, there are a lot of things that went through my mind. When you think about campus ministry, there are so many things that I can look at in my campus ministry. And whenever I think about, well, what do we need to do as campus ministries in general, I look at my campus ministry and say, well, what are our weaknesses? What are the things we need to work on? Where do we struggle? And I know if we're struggling with them, the other campus ministries probably are struggling with a lot of those same things. And I know that in a lot of ministries, not just campus ministry in general, there are massive issues whenever it comes to leadership and understanding that people are following you. As a campus minister, as if you lead a small group, how many of you are actually campus ministers in here? All right. How many of you like work with a small group or something like that in a campus ministry and you lead in some capacity in those? Okay. And, you know, I started thinking about campus ministry and what's going on, and I think part of our problem... Hello. I think part of the issue is that we don't understand and haven't grasped what it means to really lead a ministry. And as I thought about the theme for this year, a bow to your sensei, and what that means, I started thinking about the fact that, man, a sensei is someone who, you know, ultimately for us is Jesus. We look at Jesus and we look at him and say, that's who I want to be. He's my Lord. He's my master. He's my boss. He's my sensei. And whatever he says do, that's what I'm going to do because I want to be like my teacher, my master, my sensei. But also, whenever you look at God's word, you find out that the Bible calls us to mentor one another, and it calls the leaders of the church to follow Christ, and for the people of the church to follow the leadership as they follow Christ. And as you look at what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 11, chapter 1, he says, follow me as I follow Christ. And as campus ministers, we've got to start addressing ourselves as leaders and how seriously we take that role and what it means to be a leader or a campus minister. And what that says about our campus ministries. How, when you look at your campus ministry and say, this is the way my campus ministry is, well, what does that say about me as a campus minister? Because I'm leading that group. You see, in your campus ministry, you're a little mini sensei. And the people in your ministry are following you. And there were a lot of things that stuck out in my mind. Wes sent me some statistics and different numbers on campus ministry from this survey that they did. And I found some things that were really shocking that made me say, I want to talk about the fact that our people follow us. Because I don't think we understand and grasp that. Because what you saw in some of these numbers is you see campus ministers saying, I feel like my evangelistic passion is an 8. All right? And you look at that and you're like, man, that's awesome. We have campus ministers who want passionately and deeply to reach people. But then you look at the next question where it says, how would you rate your campus ministry's passion level for evangelism? And all of a sudden it goes down to 3.8. And you're like, wait a minute. The campus minister thinks he's an 8. The minister's a 3.8. And then you go down further and how many people has your campus ministry reached this year? None. One. But they grew up in the church. And you start looking at that. And to me, I looked at that and I said, oh my goodness, we don't understand that our campus ministries are going to reflect what's going on with us as campus ministers. And it's real time. It's time that we start taking more seriously the fact, you know what? If you have a campus ministry that isn't reaching people and that isn't passionate about saving the lost people in the world, guess what that says about you as a campus minister? If you have a campus ministry who doesn't care for people, who doesn't love people, if you have a campus ministry that's passionless, guess who the finger gets pointed at in that campus ministry? When you look at what God's Word has to say about leadership, He's really clear in saying that leaders are held to a different standard than the rest of the body. He says, I look at them and I say, I'm holding you to a certain standard because you have to understand you are leading my flock. Right now, we're reading a book at our church called The Way of the Shepherd. If you have not read The Way of the Shepherd, you need to leave here today, go to a bookstore and buy it if you're a campus minister. Because it gives you such a clear understanding that says, your flock is your responsibility and your flock will behave in the way that you train them to behave. When you watch my son, he thinks he's a ninja. I wish he could be here this weekend because if he heard ninja from the pulpit, he would be so excited. He'd be bouncing all over the place. Ninja Turtles are his favorite, but he's going to be 5. And now he likes the Karate Kid as well. So I get to relive some of my memories. And I watched Mr. Miyagi. And you know, and he goes in and he says, and he's telling Danielson, you know, wax on, wax off. And he does it like this, you know, and he's like, no. And he shows him how you have to do the movements and he shows him how to do those things right. And slowly over the movie, you start seeing Daniel become like who? His sensei, his master. He starts looking and moving more like Mr. Miyagi. And he learns the crane and he does it just like he sees Mr. Miyagi doing it on the pole. And you see all these things because that's the way it's designed to be. You were designed to lead your campus ministry. And the people in your campus ministry are supposed to follow you. Follow me as I follow Christ. And I'm telling you, you are going to reproduce. People are going to follow you. And we've got to ask ourselves, where am I leading my people? What are they following me in? And what are they following me? And what are they going to become because of me? That's why he says, follow me as I follow Christ. He wants them to know, I'm going to do everything I can to be Christ. And I want you to follow me because I want you to be like Christ. But you can't reproduce. See, a lot of times in our ministries, what we want to do is we want to have these campus ministries that are tearing it up. And we want passionate people. And we want people who are going to reach the lost. And we want people who are going to serve. And we want people. And we can list off all these things. That's what I want my campus ministry to be. And then we sit back and we look and we're like, this stinks. Why is my campus ministry not what it's supposed to be? Well, you can't reproduce something you're not. All right? We've got to get a deep understanding. We are not going to reproduce something different than what we are. And so as ministers, we've got to take very seriously our leadership role in the lives of our college students. And understanding that we should be able to look at them and say, imitate my faith, imitate my life. And Paul is a great example of that in the Bible. You see the way he treats Timothy and Titus and the things that he says to them. He is a man who understood what it meant, what it means to be a sensei and to have people following you. You know, as you look at the Bible and you read in 2 Timothy chapter 3, starting in verse 10, Paul's writing to Timothy, this young man, this man that he's trying to develop, this man he's leading, this man who he tells, hey, I want you to follow me. And he says, you have followed what I teach, the way I live, my goal, my faith, my patience, and love. You know I never give up. You know how much I've been hurt and have suffered. As in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, I have suffered. But the Lord saved me from all of those troubles. Everyone who wants to live as God desires in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. But people who are evil and cheat others will go from bad to worse. They will fool others, but they will also be fooling themselves. And he goes down through and he says, you know, continue following the teaching that you learned. You know these things are true because you trust those who have taught those things to you. Can we say that about our people? Can you look at your campus ministry and say, do these things and be this because you've seen it in me and you trust what I say? If you were to say that to your people, would they look at you as a campus minister and say, that's right. That's what I want to be. I can tell you're following Christ. I can trust the things that you say because I've seen the way that you live. You look in the first part of that, the first verse of the 10th verse of 2 Timothy chapter 3. You have followed what I teach in the way I live. And you see that as a theme over and over again in Paul's teaching. You look again and you look at 1 Timothy 4:16. What does he say? Watch your life and doctrine closely. Watch your life and the things that you teach. If you do, you'll save yourself and who else? And your hearers, right? And your peers, the people who are around you, those people will be saved as well. And you see it here. And you see it again later on in Timothy. And you also see those same thoughts in Titus. And he says, listen, the people who are following you, I understand. Paul says, I understand, Timothy, you're following me. And you are going to imitate me. And you're going to imitate two major areas of my life. You're going to imitate my life and the things I teach. And as campus ministers, we better make sure in those two areas that we're being what we've called to be, what Christ has called us to be. Because it says it'll save not only yourself, but if you want your campus ministry to be saved, you better watch your life and your teachings. And we better be what we've been called to be. And if you want the rest of the lost people on your campus to be saved, you watch your life and your teachings closely. Guess what your campus people are going to start doing? They're going to watch their life and their teachings closely. And then what's going to happen with them? They're going to save the people around them. And then the people who they reach are going to reach the next people and the next people and the next people who goes on. Because they start understanding, I'm supposed to be following this person who's following Christ and becoming more like Christ. And that puts a very large burden on our shoulders as ministers, as campus ministers, as small group leaders in your ministries. We can't look at our campus students and say, what's wrong with them? Why are they not being what Christ has called them to be? Grab the mirror of the Word of God and pick it up and say, oh, that's why they're not being what they need to be. Isn't that what the Bible says that the Word of God is? It's like a mirror. Isn't that what it says in James? And when you look at it, you see you and the things that you need to be and the things that you need to change. And as campus ministers, that's what we've got to do. And we got to address two very specific issues. First of all, what I teach. In 2 Timothy 1, verse 13, Paul writes and he says, follow the pattern of true teachings that you heard from me in faith and in love, which are in Christ Jesus. He says, listen, you follow the pattern of teaching that you've seen in me. And you see, I think something that we discussed a little bit already, in the Church of the Christ, sometimes we've done a real good job of saying, we have the true teaching. Right? And we focus on teaching the true teaching. Hear, believe, repent, confess, be baptized, and never rest. And that's it. That's all of it right there. And that's the things that you need to know. And I believe that we need to teach true, sound doctrine. I believe that as ministers, we need to know the Word of God well enough to be able to sit down with our people and teach them what the Bible truly says we're supposed to believe. But a lot of times what happens is we get so caught up in teaching that we don't teach them any of the life skills. We don't teach them any of the application of what God's Word has to say. We can throw all kinds of facts at them. We can spit the shortest Bible verses. We can tell them all the names of all the minor prophets and what order they come in. And we can do all kinds of things like that. But we don't teach them the application that they need in order to actually make a difference in the world around them. And if our people are following us, we better make sure that we understand those things. How well have we got, how good of a grasp have we really gotten on what God's Word has to say to us? Or do we look at it and say, yep, check mark, I've done that, yep, I've done that, yep, I've done that, and think that's all there is to God's Word, and learning God's Word is learning the facts of what we're supposed to believe. Because I'm pretty sure Jesus had a conversation with a man who did that, and Jesus said, no, that's not the way things work. And the man walked away sad. And we've got to look into God's Word and we've got to look at the things that we teach and say, man, what does God's Word say besides these factual things that I need to know? What can I teach my students about their character? And what can I teach them about what needs to change in them? It's real easy to have a campus ministry Bible study and have a bunch of fluff. So it's a total different thing to have a small group where you sit across from someone and you pull out the Word of God and you pull out the sword and you say, I know this is going to cut you, And I know it's gonna cut down to joints and marrow, but this has got to be cut out of your life. Let's look at what God's Word has to say about this sin in your life. And we begin teaching them how to use the Word of God to cut out the junk in their lives. And we say, this is what the Word of God is used for. And teaching them, and rebuking them, and correcting them, and training them using the Word of God. And stop telling them the same old stuff they've heard for so long. They have all the facts memorized. They need to sit down and open the Word of God, and they need us to say, let's look at what God has to say about what we need to become and who we need to be. It's so easy for us to get caught up in those other things, but we need to start teaching them how to apply these things in their life. You know, he says, watch the things that you teach. Again, I wholeheartedly believe we need to teach what God's Word says in true doctrine. I'm not one of those people who you look at, you can ask anybody who knows me, who says, oh, no, you can throw that doctrinal stuff to the side and that doesn't matter. I don't believe that at all. But I also believe that we can emphasize that so much that we lose a lot of the other great stuff that's in God's Word. And they need to see us teaching those things. And they need to know that they can trust that. And I think one of the ways they learn to trust that is by that second part. They watch the way that we live. They watch the way that we live. They watch the way we behave. And I think there's a couple different things that show up in this. The things that we do. You know, when they look at our lives, do they see someone who sets a good example for them? Or do they look at our lives and say, man, he's involved in so much junk. And he's so caught up in the things of this world. He works all the time, or he spends his money on things that have absolutely no business spending money on, or he focuses on trying to get a woman too much. They look at our lives, and they're looking for an example of Christ in us so that they can follow us. But too many times, I believe, when they look at the lives of us as campus ministers, they don't look and say, that is what they set a pristine example for me of what I need to be. I know I look at my life. And there are things I look at my life and I'm like, man, I've got to set a better example in the things that I do, in the way that my people see me live. If I ever expect them to become more like Christ, I've got to be becoming more like Christ in the way that I handle my day-to-day walk with God. And it shows up in a lot of different ways, like I said, in the things that we do. But also, you know, if you look in 1 Timothy 4:12, it talks about, he says, I set an example for people in life, love, faith, purity. And you go through those things. As campus ministers, are we setting an example in our faith, in our love? That when they see us interact with other people. I've walked around campuses before with campus ministers, and they walk right by students and don't even look at them. They don't say anything to the students around them. They don't look at them. They're just going on their merry way. And their people are following them, and they do the same thing. They're walking through a campus, and they don't acknowledge anyone around them. And I think, man, how are they showing the love of Christ to their people on a daily basis if they don't even acknowledge the lost students that are around them? It's something I've recently started working at Lindenwood University, the campus that we work on. It basically worked out to where they looked and they said, man, your campus ministry does a lot of good things, and your events turn out really well. And they said, our director of student activities just quit. Would you put in your resume? And I put it in, not thinking I had a chance of getting the job, and now I've been working there. I'm just finished my first year. But we've had to have lots of discussions in my office. I have to make a conscious effort, even though I know it's crazy and busy. When somebody comes into that office, I've got to be like, hey, how you doing? You know, and I have to really pour love and care and concern and make sure I focus on that when people come into the office. Because I've noticed that the people who are in my office, we just had a girl who works with us in our office become a Christian. And I've noticed she's not especially good at that. And I've got to set a good example. She'll sit there and just type away and not look up from her computer at all as people walk in and are talking to her. And I'm looking and I'm thinking, you know, that seems like such a small thing. But I've got to make sure I'm setting the pace for her. And so when I pulled her aside and I said, listen, Megs, you know, you got to address this. And she said, you're right. And I said, how do you see me interact? She's like, you always talk to people. You and Ben are always looking at them. You're giving them your attention when they come in. And sometimes, obviously, I fail at that as well. But, you know, those seem like little things. But our people are watching the way we interact. The daily things that we do, they're watching and they're following us. And we're reproducing that in our people. The conversations that we get in at the lunch table. It's easy to sit at a lunch table at a university and talk about absolutely nothing. Do they see us taking those conversations and those relationships deeper? Do they see us when we're out in public and they're hanging out with us and you're at Target? Do they see you handing a church card out and saying, hey, I think your family would really, really like to come and check out this thing we're doing Sunday? We're doing this thing called Cool Down with the Crossings, and we've rented the ice skating rink, and we're going to, you know, do they see on a daily basis you doing things that say, that's someone who believes in God, who loves God? And I think the things we do, but also in an even greater way, I think, whenever we look at the things that he says, watch your life and your teachings. With our life, just our general passion level and purpose. You see, I believe that the reason that we look up here at a lot of these statistics about campus ministries is because we have a bunch of campus ministries who view this or campus ministers who view campus ministry as their job. And it's something they get paid for, and they go and they sit in their office and they spend most of their time in their office rather than being out amongst the students. And they understand, well, I have to put on an event this month and I have to have a weekly Bible study. And once I do those things, my bases are covered. And there's no passion and no purpose in their life. And we can't figure out why our people in our campus ministries across the nation have no passion for the lost and have no purpose that says, I'm here, I'm not here to get an education. I'm here to reach lost people. One of the things that I sit down with my campus students and I say, listen, you're not on campus to get an education. That's not why you're here at Lindenwood University. And at first some of them are like, what? You know, they're like, that's why I'm here. And I'm like, no, that's a bonus. That's an added benefit that you get while you're here. Your purpose for being at Lindenwood University is to reach the lost students around you in your classrooms and in your dorms. And starting to develop that passion and the purpose that says, I'm here for something greater than a piece of paper that I'm going to get when I walk across the stage. And I believe that for so long we've had campus ministers who don't have that passion. And they go and they sit and they're happy with the way things are. When you look at the life of Paul, he was not happy with the way things are. He was constantly pushing and driving, and he gets shipwrecked, and he may have lost some of his eyesight. He had all kinds of issues that you see going on in his life, but you see, he says to Timothy, you look at me, and you see that I never give up. See, one of the things about Paul that Timothy would have wanted to imitate was the fact that he says, I have a faith that says I'm never giving up, and I'm passionate about my relationship with God, and I'm passionate about spreading the word of God to the entire world. Does your campus ministry look at you and say, that is a burning ball of fire for God in our ministry and on our campus? And do they see that and they say, that's what I want to be, or do they have to look somewhere else? See, guys, because to be quite honest, if we're not what we need to be as campus ministers and our ministries aren't what they need to be, then yeah, people, you know, we read all these statistics about people going to different denominations or different kinds of schools or transferring out. You know what? If our pasture is in the kind of shape that it should be in from us taking care of it, people won't have to look to the greener grass. All right? That's just the honest truth. And if we are passionate people who believe in what God's Word says, and we look at our campuses and we say, that's what I want so badly. I want my campus to be reached for Christ. And I want it bad enough that I'm going to lead the way. You see, because sitting there and telling your students, yeah, go out and invite for this event, and I'll meet you back at 4 o'clock in my office. Have fun. They're going to go out, and they're going to go, and they're going to throw the papers out, and it's going to be the end of it, and they're going to come back, and guess what's going to happen at your event? Absolutely nothing. They need ministers who are going to go out and say, let's go do this because I'm passionate about this. I'm on fire for this. They need ministers who are going to be passionately involved in their lives. And set an example. You see, we can't teach our people how to develop other people if we're not developing them. If we're not setting that pace and that example for them. This is something that this year I feel like I've done an extremely poor job at. My wife and I have went round and round. And if you talk to my guys, they will tell you. Dow will tell you. Jeremy will tell you. Have I done a good job at that this year? At being what I need to be in developing you guys? No. All right? I haven't. They're like, we're going to die after this lesson. You know, they will tell you, I have not done as good of a job as I should at that. And my wife has stepped in, and she's done an awesome job of helping me with that, but also pointing out to me and saying, Carrie, it's time you step up and be what you're calling them to be. If you want them to learn to develop other people, you've got to develop them. You've got to lead the way. They are following you. And I can look at our campus ministry and I see the way the girls have grown in our campus ministry. And I look at the way the guys have grown in our campus ministry. And the girls have outgrown the guys this year. Hands down. And I've been really challenged as we've read The Way of the Shepherd. And as my wife has pushed me and as the guys have talked to me to say, I'm supposed to be leading the way in this. They're following me. Let's go. And we had a leadership meeting at our church where we sat down and we talked about this very thing. And the leaders made different commitments that said, I'm going to do this as a leader because I realize I have people following me. And one of the things that I have had to commit to over the past month is saying, I'm going to be different in the way that I approach, the way I'm developing my guys, and the time that I spend and pour into them. And I'm going to be different in the way, because I understand I am leading them. They are following me. And this is something I've talked about for years. So now I'm looking in the mirror, I'm like, hey, stupid, you talk about this all the time. Do it. I've got to lead the way. Because they're following me. If I want to have a campus ministry that's passionate and on fire and that's reaching people and making a difference on my campus, I better be doing all those things myself because I cannot reproduce something that I am not. And if you look at your ministry and you feel like, man, my ministry is just not what it needs to be, guess what? You can look at your life and say, I need to change some things about the way I'm dealing with my life and my relationship with God and the way that I'm dealing with my people. I believe that in our ministries, if we could get that basic understanding down, that you are the leader of that ministry and the responsibility of that ministry and its ability to reach people and its ability to be successful at fulfilling the Great Commission lies on our shoulders, our ministries will do so much more than they ever have. I really, truly believe that. But what we like to do is we like to blame it on all kinds of other things. Well, you know, they've grown up in the church, and so that's just the way they are. Or, man, you know that students now are just a lot different than they used to be. Or, you know, we blame it on all kinds of things, and it's time that we saddle that responsibility as campus ministers and say, you know what, if campus ministry across the nation isn't what it needs to be, it's probably because campus ministers aren't what they need to be. And that obviously applies to churches as well, right? It applies to any ministry we're part of. If our churches are dying, guess what? Our leadership and our churches need to understand they've got people following them. They need to step up and be what they need to be. You know, one of the things in reading The Way of the Shepherd that's really stuck out to me is that sheep are stupid. They're dumb. Sheep are dumb animals. And in the book he says, and I realize that as I'm writing this, that I'm saying I'm a stupid, dumb animal. All right? They need direction. They need people. They need leaders around them to help shepherd them. That's why God talks about that over and over in the Word of God. And we need to understand we are there to help guide our people along, and they will never get to where they could be if we're not being what we should be. And I want to make sure that I understand that they're following me. The way of the sensei is you do it and you train them to do it. But if I'm not watching and really getting a deep understanding of what God's word is all about, if I'm not applying that in my everyday life, and if I'm not passionate about those things, my people aren't going to be either. And we're going to have a lame campus ministry. And to be honest, I look back at this past year in our campus ministry, and it's the best year of campus ministry we've ever had. And I look at that, and I'm like, man, how sad is that? Because I know there are some blatant weaknesses in my life where I haven't led my people where they need to go as much as possible, and look what God has done. Imagine what God could do if I really took seriously being a sensei to my people. If I really took seriously my leadership, what God could do. I look at our campus ministry. We've had 17 baptisms since January this year in our campus ministry. And I look at that and I'm like, that is amazing. I can't believe what God has done in our campus ministry. But I also look at that and say, like Flavel said, I look at that and I'm like, but it's not good enough. It's not good enough. Because I look at myself and there were blatant things that I know I can ignore, that if I change, God can use me to a greater extent, and he will use the people who are following me to an even greater extent because we're being faithful. And one of the things that I'm committing to you all as well, is to saying I'm going to lead my campus ministry where it needs to go. I'm going to be what I need to be. I'm going to become more like Christ on a daily basis, so that my ministry will become more like Christ on a daily basis. And I will make sure that I dig into my word, and I will make sure that I understand it to a deeper level consistently. And I will make sure that I apply those things as I walk daily on campus. And I will make sure that I'm passionate about those things. And if I do those, you will see next year when we come here that I'll be able to say, hey guys, guess what? Again, we're having the best year of campus ministry we've ever had, but it blows last year out of the water. And honestly, guys, I'm glad we've moved to a bigger room, but we shouldn't fit in this room either. All right? We should not fit in this room. And if leaders will lead, God will be faithful as he's promised, and we will lead his kingdom even further, and we will storm the gates of hell, and we will tear the world apart for God. We will grab people and we'll say, hey, there's something so much better, and they'll see what we got, and they'll want it, and campus ministry will make an even bigger dent in this war that we're fighting. So I just want to beg you to realize the way of the sensei is to understand that they are following you. And if they become you, will you be happy with that? Let's pray. Father in heaven, I want to thank you for today, God, just for the whole weekend. And giving us the opportunity to come here and talk about your kingdom, God, and especially your kingdom on the college campus, God. It's something that I am passionate about, God. I look at it and it doesn't seem like I've been working with campus ministry as long as I have. And this past year has been amazing, God. And I look at some of the people and I look out in the crowd, God, and I see some of the people who have become Christians over the past year. And it's awesome, God, to see them and to know that they have a relationship with you and how much they've blessed and changed my life, God. But I want to be able to look out there and see so many more people who have been changed by your word, God, and by the people who have gotten involved in their lives, and they've become more like you, and their lives are blessed because of it. And I just pray that you'll help me to realize that I am leading your people, God, and to never forget that, and to realize that they're following me, and to always be asking myself, God, where am I leading your people? It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks, Kerry.